Okay, so today's daf is daf ches in Baba Basra, as we give Hashem today the topic of tzedakah. Okay, yesterday we got to the two dots, Rebbe, about halfway down the page, beginning of the line. Rebbe Pasachotos B'Shnei Betzaros. In the years of famine, Rebbe, who was a very wealthy man, opened up his storehouses of food for the needy. Let the people who study Torah, whether they learn Chumash, Mikra, Mishnah, or Gemara, let them come in. Balei Halacha, people who study laws. Balei Agada, people who study Agadata, the stories of the Medrash. But do not let the Amma Aretz in. Now, the reason he didn't allow it is because clearly there wasn't enough for everybody, so he gave priority to the learned. Rabbi Yonis Ben Amram came in, pushed his way in. Amrlo Rebbe, Parnaseini, please. Sustain me, I'm poor. Amalo, Bini, my son. Karisa, have you studied Torah? Have you studied Chumash? Amalo, lo. Lab. Shanis, have you learned Mishnah? Amalo, lo. Zim came, but Marfa said, with what should I support you? I should support you. I need to support the people, the learned. What should I support? Amalo, Parnaseni, Kikel, Vachor. Sustain me like a dog or like a raven. Tosus brings down Rashi, says, because it says, "No sin lepema lachma," he gives an animal his bread. Livnei orva sheikro and behemas gematria kelav. Rashi brings down because dogs in those days, people didn't keep dogs in their homes; they were like wild animals. They couldn't find any food, so our Baruch Shalom gave them a chesed that he let the when they eat food, it didn't dissolve, it didn't disintegrate after one day, but it took 3 days. The dog keeps the food in the stomach for 3 days. That was a chesed that Hashem did with them. Also, the Bnei Or of the parents, the ravens don't feed their children, so Hashem was mezamen for them food specially. Points you see, Hashem did a chesed with animals. So feed me like an animal. I'm no worse than that. So Parnasay, so Hitaka sustained him. In other words, this Rabbi Yonis Ben Amram, he said, okay, you want to feed me like at least like an animal. So he listened to that argument, and Rebbe sustained him. Basanapik, after he went out, after Rabbi Yonis Ben Amram took some food, Yosef, Rebbe, become a star. And Rebbe was upset about what he had done. I've given my food to the Amoratzim instead of to the Tenechum, in front of Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe. So his son, Rabbi Shimon, said to him, Shemi Yonis and Ben Amram, Tamidchahu. Maybe this Yonis and Ben Amram is really your Talmud, and Rotz Lohanas, Mekavit Tar Miyamav. Maybe this is Rabbi Yonis Ben Amram. In other words, maybe we couldn't recognize him because he was destitute, but maybe this is the Yonis Ben Amram who learned by you. He was your student, but he didn't want to take credit. Yes, did you learn? No, I didn't learn. He didn't want to take any credit. And it's gain. He didn't want to gain any gain. Like, well, let's not say. Certain people don't want to gain by Torah. They don't want to say, okay, I'm the rabbi, so give me a discount, or I'm the rabbi, give me money or a bribe or something like that. He didn't want to take anything. He didn't even want to be recognized for as a Talmud Chacham, because of his humility. So Batku, they checked Vashkan, they Taka found that was the Taka the case, that Rabbi Yonis Ben Amram was really a Talmud Chacham, but he didn't want to take credit for it. Once Rebbe saw that, that means that he couldn't differentiate between Talmud Chacham and not Talmud Chacham, because even the many who were Talmud Chacham didn't want to take credit for it. Amr Bing Sokol, let everybody come in. Rebbe Latamei, why did Rebbe say this originally? So at the end, Rebbe couldn't differentiate between them, so he said, okay, let everybody come in. But why did he originally hold that don't give it to the Amoratzim? Rebbe told me, Rebbe, ain't pornos bol olam elbush filam aretz. Destruction and punishment comes to the world only because of the Amoratzim. Kahu, the story. Kahu, demei kliu, the shadow of Tveri. The inhabitants of Tveri, which was a Jewish town, even in those days, they were taxed having to pay for the king's new crown. It cost a lot of money, and they taxed the people of the city. Also, coming to Rebbe, they came for Rebbe, the people of the town. Let the rabbis contribute too. All the Jews have to contribute to this crown. Let the rabbis pitch in also. Amalahu, he told them, but by the way, where did the rabbis have any money from? Right? Because they were in business. They worked. Just let the rabbis also contribute. I'm not making the rabbis contribute. Amulei, instead of case, Arkona. So we're gonna leave town. The rabbis in Tveri didn't want to contribute. So I'll tell you what, we'll leave town and you'll be stuck with it. Says Aroku, Amulei Aroku, leave. Who cares? Well, get out. Go. Aroku Palgans, half the people, these are Amaratsim, left. Dalhu Palga. Once they left, the king automatically discounted the crown that they had to pay for by half. He cut off half the taxes because half the people were gone. Also on a Palga Kamed Rebbe, the other half who stayed there came for Rebbe Amalei. They told him, let the rabbis, we only have to pay for half now, let the rabbis contribute. Amalei lo. Arkonu, we're going to leave. Aroku, leave. Arku, Kulu, they all left. Pashu Akov, was only one dry cleaners was left there. Shadu Akov, and they put the whole tax of the crown on that one guy. He was the only one left. Arakov, so he also ran away. Paka Kalila, and the thing burst. In other words, the whole thing, the whole decree was rescinded. They didn't have to pay for anything. So Rebbe said, Amar Rebbe, Re'isim, so you see, Shein Pornos Bololim, but Bushfil Amaratz. Because without the Amaratzim, we didn't have any taxes. It was the taxes only because of the Amaratzim. So that's what he learned from. But at the end of the day in that story, he couldn't apply it himself. Because he said, who am I going to give it to? He only had limited supply. The Mefarshim say, if he had enough for everybody, give it to the Amaratzim also. They're still Jews. We have to support them, right? Aniyim. But he says, but it wasn't enough. So he felt only he should give it to the Tamnei Chachamim. But at the end, he couldn't differentiate between them.
But at this point, there's no iser taking from an Amoritz, even though
he's
brought this to the world. So there's no
taking what? Taking the stuff? No. Still, he's chayef to give. Can't take from a goy, maybe. But that's a whole discussion whether you can take money from a goy.
Is this a justification for why in the Haredi world they basically support their own people?
I don't know. Yeah.
Because Rebbe. I don't think Rebbe was saying here, as you said, if he had enough money,
he would supply them all.
Everybody.
So the answer is,
the
answer is, as we'll see in a few minutes, the Aniye Ircha Kodim. In other words, your own family, your own clan comes first.
Let the secular people.
Right, let them supply. Right, exactly. Right. That's the general attitude. Right. There's nothing wrong with that attitude.
Right.
First help your own, then help the others. So he said that if you live in the city, you can be forced to contribute to the wall of the city. There was a discussion about the Chachamim, the Tamir Chachamim don't need the protection, but if you live in the city, you have to contribute to the wall of the city. Then he says, well, what's considered living in the city? So we said, how long if you live in the city to be considered like one of the people of the city to contribute to the wall? 12 months. For a minute, you say 12 months. Let's say you have truckers, let's say, you know, call them Shayar. It's a caravan of donkey drivers, camel drivers, schlepping stuff from place to place. And they overnighted in a city. And they also worship the Avodah Zarah there. People said, you know, here's the Yosel, you want to come overnight? It's a discount if you stop at the church, right? So they were also, it was part of an Irani Dachas, a city that the entire city. Worship the Avodah Zarah. So if they left over there, and they also were Hutrimam, in other words, they were also accused and found to have worshipped the Avodah Zarah. Hey, Meskil Manu and Paul, the people from the caravan who stayed overnight, right, who stayed there for a while, whatever, they are judged as individuals. If an individual commits a Avodah Zarah and is Eilim and Asura, etc., his punishment is Skila, but his money is not destroyed. His assets can be taken over by family members, right? So they are considered not dwellers of the city if they stay there overnight, right? And they're killed like individuals. But if they stayed there 30 days, if the caravan stayed 30 days in the Irani Dachas, then they are considered part of the city's inhabitants. Then Hain Desai from Onanova, then they're considered like the rest of the Irani Dachas. The Irani Dachas is a special halacha. You have to kill everybody in the city by the sword, and their money is destroyed. You burn their money. So you see here that what's considered to be an inhabitant of the city, to be counted as part of the city for Irani Dachas, 30 days. So it's a 12 months or so, 30 days. I'm Rav Elo Kasha. Hala b'nei masa aliyas masa. Are you considered a person of the city, that you're a citizen, let's call it, of the city, or are you considered an inhabitant of the city? To be a resident, right. So if you are a citizen of the city, like a person of the city, that's 12 months. But just to be an inhabitant is 30 days, Kedetanya. And when it comes to Irani Dachas, it says Yoshvei Ha'ir, the people who live in the city, means the residents of the city. 30 days is all you need to be considered a resident of the city. Kedetanya, like we learned. Hamudor Namanshe, let's say you make a netter, you're not going to have any hanoah from the people of that city. You can't have any hanoah from anybody in that city who was there 12 months, because you said Anshei Ha'ir, that means citizens of the city. Pachas Mikan, if it's less than 12 months, mutter. then you're allowed to. Let's say you made the neder not from citizens of the city. You didn't say ansheir, but you said niyoshreya here, the inhabitants, the residents of the city. Then kosher shasham shloshim yom. Then if you're there 30 days, also as we can't have an off. If he's there 30 days, he's considered yoshreya here, and you can't have an off from him. Pachas miyan. If he's there less than 30 days, mutalanos, we can have an off. Are you saying that for all matters you need 12 months to be considered a citizen of the city? If you're there 30 days in the cities, you have to contribute to the soup kitchen, to food. They used to collect food every day for the poor. We'll see in a few minutes that they used to collect the food and give it out. Food couldn't be stored. So if you're there 30 days, you're forced to contribute to the soup kitchen. Shlosha Chodashim, if you're there 3 months, Mekupa, you have to give money to the tzedakah. They assign everybody, they assess everybody, you have to give tzedakah. Shisha, 6 months, Lakasas. If you're there 6 months, you have to contribute to the gemach, you know, for the food, for the clothing, to cover people, and the clothing. Tisha Likvor, if you're there 9 months, you have to contribute to the Chever Kadisha, to bury the dead. Shneimasar Chodesh, Lepasei Ha'ir. And the gear says, Pierce Karshe 8, Lachazak Sharir. In other words, the beams that are necessary for the walls. So what do you see? There's different amounts of time for what you need to contribute. Amar Vasa, Amar Yochan, Ayachan, Kitan, Amastis, and Shneim, Asachosh. When Amish says 12 months, Ayachan, that's Lepasir, we're talking about contributing to the walls of the city. So Ayachan, to be considered right, for the infrastructure. So it depends. Ayachan, so if you're there, Ayachan, we said less than 12 months. You're not a citizen, you're an inhabitant of the city, you're a resident of the city. So, but for the resident of the city, you also have to contribute, right? Even if you're there, people, let's say, move here for 6 months or 8 months or 9 months, they also have to contribute to the tzedakah and to the funds and pay for the shul, whatever the rules are. So there are different rules for different things. But for contributing to the walls of the city, the structure, the infrastructure, and for protection, then everybody is considered. So you say really infrastructure, but it really depends because... here we're talking about specifically about the walls which protect the people, where we said the rabbis don't have to contribute because they don't need the protection. But when it comes to infrastructure, like we learned earlier on this page yesterday, it comes to digging wells, then the rabbis have to do. So when it comes to really infrastructure, there's a difference between protection and infrastructure. Infrastructure, everybody needs that. The rabbis too. They also need water, etc. So they have to contribute to that. But for the security, then the rabbis don't have to contribute.
The 12-month rule, though, according to this Gemara, someone who was there for 3 months wouldn't have to contribute to wells,
in terms of wells.
In other words,
It could be.
He has to contribute as someone.
Right, infrastructure, right. So infrastructure, the infrastructure presumably would be the same as security in terms of 12 months, but the difference is would the rabbis have to contribute to it or not. For security, they don't. For infrastructure, they do. Amar Vasi, Amar B'Yochan, HaKol L'Pasei here. Everybody must contribute to the walls of the city, meaning for security. I feel like even Yisamim. Alvo Rabbanan Lo, like we said before, Rabbanan Lo Shrich Terusa, they don't need watching because the Torah guards them. Amra Papa, Lashur, Laparsho, Latarzina, Afilu Miasme. These are considered, it's considered infrastructure and it's more really more security. Lashura means literally for fixing the wall, security. Parsho means the horseman, like a parash, right? He has to go around the city to check for, you know, where the wall needs repairs. Ula Tarzina, that's the head of the armory. So these are all for protection, for security. I feel when you ask me, all these things have to even collect me some of Rabbanan lo tzrichin terusa, but the Rabbanan don't need the security. Kol demilsa, kol milsa disla, no amine, anything that they get pleasure from, feel me ask me. They also have to collect from. So if some are getting pleasure either from the infrastructure, from the security, they have to contribute as well. Whereas the rabbis are not getting any pleasure from the security because they're secure in themselves. Rabba, Ramat Staka Yasmi, Debe Marian, he imposed a tax of tzedakah. In other words, it was very common that they would, even in Europe, you had this where the town council or the vod would go around and assess people to give tzedakah for the poor. So Rabba assessed the Yisom of Beit Miriam, the house of Miriam. Miriam was a very wealthy man who died, so he had a large estate. And Barbara Mary also made the Yisomim there give money. Only Abaye Vatan Rav Shmuel by you to aim post tzedakah Yisom. You don't assess tzedakah for Yisom. Afilu lepidyon shvuim, even for redeeming the captives, which we'll see was a great mitzvah. I'm assessing them to give them good standing in the city. In other words, we know they have money because they have a big estate. Their father died, left them a fortune. Normally, you can't collect tzedakah from Yisomim, but in this case, I'm making them Yitzhakah because it will give them a good standing among the people. They'll get credit, and people will do business with them, etc. I'm doing a special favor. This is a special case. If for Hormuz, Imed Shvor Malka. If for Hormuz was the mother of Shvor Malka. We see Shvor Malka was a guy, but he knew how to learn. Some places we say Shvor Malka was Shmuel, but Shmuel, the general thing we had before is that Shmuel was a friend of Shvor Malka. Anyway, his mother did mitzvos, so she sent Shadra Arnika the Dinri Lekamer Rabbi Yosef. She sent a purse of money, of dinarim, for Rabbi Yosef. Amr Lavi, let's the mitzvah rabbi. Let it be, give this for a great mitzvah. I'm going to give this money, should be for a great mitzvah. My son should have a long, malchus, whatever. Yes, Rabbi Yosef, Kamaimba. So Rabbi Yosef started, Rabbi Yosef received this gift, and he said, use it for a great mitzvah. He started checking into it, my mitzvah rabbi. What big mitzvah is there? What's the biggest mitzvah? Amalei Abaya. Minitani, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, ain't posting sakaling some elapigyan afilapigyan. Since Rav Shmuel, you said that in regular cases of Yisom, not in the case of Bei Bar Meir, but regular cases, you don't assess stucca, impose a stucca tax, so to speak, on Yisom, even for Pinyan Shvuyim. So Shmam, you know that Pinyan Shvuyim is a great mitzvah, mitzvah rabbi. So you see, that's a great mitzvah. And that's what Rabbi Yosef wanted to use the money that when the mother of Shvor Malka, and her name was Ifra Hormuz, when she gave money for a great mitzvah, the great mitzvah can be considered to be pidyon shvuyim. Amalei Rabba la Rabba bar Mori. Menah mil sedam rabbanu. Where do we get this? So what's the source of this thing that the rabbi said, the pidyon shvuyim mitzvah, but that it's a great mitzvah? Amalei v'chsiv, it says v'haya, when Yirmiyah foresaw the exile, the Golos that was coming up, and Hashem told him that, tell the people they're going out to Golos, and when they ask you, v'haya ki omer lecha an neitzer, where are we going out to Golos? What's going to be of us? But Martin, you should tell them. Tell them the truth. Call Mar Hashem, so says God, Asher lomavus lomavus. Asher lomus lomus, or lomavus lomavus. Whoever is going to die is just going to die. Lomavus means regular death. Asher lachel lachel, whoever's going to die by the sword will die by the sword. Asher l'rav, whoever will die by starvation will die by starvation. Asher l'shevi l'shevi, whoever will die in captivity will be in captivity. In other words, not a good thing for anybody, but there's different levels. Rabbi Yochanan kol amucher b'pasuk zeh kosh mechavero. The latter ones in this pasuk, the later it is in the pasuk, you have maves, you have cherev, you have rav, and you have shevi. The latter ones, the more latter ones, are more severe than the first ones. Cherev kashmi maves. Death by sword is great, and is worse than just regular death. Ibay sema kra. I can prove it from a verse. Ibay sema esfara, or I can give you from logic. Ibay sema esfara. Haikum and like level one. In one case, a person's deformed. To die of a death of just, he died of whatever disease or whatever is one thing. But if he's cut up with a sword, that's much more painful. He's deformed. Yibay Sema Kra, or I'll show from a pasuk. Yakar Bein Hashem Masoch Chizirav. Dear are those to Hashem who die, who died plain, didn't die from something else. They just died through regular death. Rav Kash Mecherav, starvation is worse than the sword. Yibay Sema Svara, or Yibay Sema Kra, Yibay Sema Svara. Or what's the Girsa? Rav Kasha Mechav, Ibai Seim Akrav, Ibai Seim Asfara, Ibai Seim Asfara, Haikam at Star. So the Svara is what? Haikam at Star, Haikam at Star. When he's starving, he's in pain. It's painful. Whereas Cherev, it's over, but he's deformed. It's a 1 second pain. This is an extended, dying through starvation is an extended, a long, painful process. Svara, so Haikam at Star, Haikam at Star, Ibai Seim Akrav, I'll tell you a pasuk. Tovim hayu chalei cherev michalei rav. Pasuk says, better were those who died from the sword than died from starvation. So you see, starvation is worse than cherev. Shvi kash mekulim, but captivity is the worst of all them. The kulu isnuba, because he could do all the things there. And so when he's in captivity, he could also be hurt with the sword, and he could be starved to death, etc. All these things can happen. Then Rashi says, be out of kachom lasbo kol chafzo im lamavus im lecherev im lerav, whatever he wants to do with them. So Shvi, captivity is the worst of all of them, and therefore, pidyon shvuyim is the greatest mitzvah, because it's the opposite. It's getting them out of the worst condition they could be. Tan Rabbanan. Kupa shel tzedaka nigves b'shnayim mischalekes b'shlosha. The kupa of tzedaka is collected by two. People can't collect tzedaka, because when people come around collecting, they should collect with two people, as we'll see, to avoid chshad, but it's based on a pasuk. Umischalekes b'shlosha, but when it's divided up, when it's given out, when the money's given out to the poor, it's done, so to speak, with a bezin. Nigas v'shnayim, it's collected by two, she'enos and shrora, sharas ala tzibor, pachas v'shnayim. You don't make any authority over the tzibor with less than two people. You always have to have two people. We'll see, it's based on a pasuk. We're going to come to the pasuk. But the idea is that people shouldn't think that there's any hanky-panky going on. You know, two people come collecting.
That's
two people
why they come with one.
You know, why?
That's why they come with one.
Why?
Because there is hanky-panky going on.
Yeah, but the checks and stuff, it's different, you know. But the reason is because this is when it's assessed. In other words, when they come with one, that's one guy just snoring. So he's collecting for whatever he's collecting for. It's your option to give it to him. But here we're talking about when you're collecting, you can force the people to assess them to collect. That has to be done because you're giving an authority, like a government authority over them, that you have to have at least two. So less than two. Mischalek's pressure, why is it divided with three kedinim mamas? Like any dinim mamas is here you have a bezin giving out money, so it's got to be done properly. You need a bezin, a court of three. But when it comes to the soup kitchen, when you collect food and you give it out, you collect even with three there also. Why? Because it's given out right away. In other words, you really could collect the food with two, but you have to give out with three, and you have to give it out right away. The food goes bad. You can't even leave it overnight. So you have to give it out right away. So if you don't want to delay giving it out, so therefore you make the rule already, you collect it already with three. Food is given out daily. You can't keep it anyway overnight. Give it out. And people need it daily. Kupa Meir of Shabbos, I have Shabbos. The tztaka, which is given out by a quart of three, that's given out every Friday. Tam chui la nia olam, the food is given out to all poor people. Why? Because whoever's hungry, as we'll see in tomorrow's daf, that ain't bot kelim zonos. If a person comes with one of those sheets that he's authorized by a certain to collect money, you have the right to check it out. You don't have to just give him money. You don't have to be a, it might be a fake, right? But if a guy says he's hungry, you have to give him food. Well, machlok is about that. That's what we say, ain't bot kelim zonos. So you got to give food to anybody. Tam chui la nia olam, kupa la nia ir. But when it comes to the tztaka, the people of that city have preference. And you're not responsible to feed the people in Los Angeles. You're responsible to feed the people in your city. We'll see about this. And we'll see about exceptions. So Rishon, Bnei Yerlas, Kupa, Tam Chuvi, Tam Chuvi, but the people of the city, they can decide to take money from the tztaka box and give that for the soup kitchen, and vice versa. But Tam Chuvi, Kupa, Ulashanas, Chomashir, and not only that, any money that they collect or food that they can collect, they have the ability, the people of the city can say, we're going to use it for this purpose. Why? Because if that's what they originally did, right? Tosa explains, at a time you used to even take money from the tztaka and use it for the security of the wall, even though you could say that security of the wall was not necessarily contributed by the Rabbanan, didn't have to contribute to that, but yet they had to give tztaka. He said, because that was the das b'nei nos, in other words, it's understandable. So, for example, if, let's say, people take money from the Vod decides that the money that's given for Vada Chesed or whatever it's called, the Karen Chesed, they need that for whatever, for a Sefer Torah or for some other requirement for the shul. They can do that because when you give the money to the shul, it's with that understanding. Now, if there's not such an understanding, they say, no, we're very particular. We don't take money from the whatever, let's say from the Karen HaBinyan and use it for daily stuff or whatever, then that's the rule. But if the people of the city, since it was done with such a condition, if shall das b'nei ha'ir, no some, so if the people are giving it with the understanding that whoever they get, that the gaborim, the leaders, can change it, that's acceptable. So people say, you know, they collect for a certain kid who needs an operation, and if there's any money left over, they'll use it for other tztaka, that's understood also. V'sham b'nei ha'ir, la'asun salam midos v'alasham. The people in the city could also make rules about weights and measures. And prices. You could have, remember, they can have price controls. They could say you can't sell this for more than X amount. They're allowed to. Vaschar poem, they can make wages, like we have minimum wage rules. And to punish those, right, to penalize those who go against those rules. They're allowed to do that. That's part of the understanding. That's how you run a city. You don't make any authority over the tzibur less than two. Where do you get some? Amrav Nachman, Amrav Kral, the pasuk says, "V'hei mikhues azov." They will take the gold and the silver they collected from the Mishkan. "V'hei mikhues azov es hakesef es hachoshet." They will take it, meaning there's at least two. Shroras hudalavdi, they don't make an authority with less than two. Ho'emuni mehemet, but one person believes. We'll see also in tomorrow's Gemara that it's brought down that the Betzalel and etc., all the people who were involved in working in the Beis Hamikdash, they were trustworthy people. They didn't have to sign out every time they took with two people to take out some gold that they needed for the construction. They were believed. So they were believed And as, the rule is on collecting, hey, mechazav, shoros, you don't make any authority over them to take, to assess them money and take money from them. But believe they can be. Messiah of Chinin is a proof to Rav Chinin, Dom Rav Chinin, a Maisa. There was a story, Mina Rebbe Shnei Achen. Rebbe appointed two brothers a la kupa. He appointed two brothers on the kupa, meaning that even though Rashi says that two brothers are only believed as one, I guess because Adas, like, you know, like it's in terms of Adas, you can only one of them, you can't have two brothers testify. So two brothers are believed as one. So it comes to believing, you believe them. It's not a question of stealing. In other words, the reason you collect with two is not stealing because they, you know, authority when you come to collect to assess has to be done properly with a minimum of two. That's based on a pasuk, not because of trustworthiness. Maishor Arusa, in other words, Rebbe El Kupa, he appointed two people because he need two people, but they
could be trusted. In other words, there's no reason for the two brothers to collude. They're independent people.
Right. But there
so
could
it's not an issue.
Yeah, but sometimes they could collude, but sometimes they could. So
two people again collude also.
I understand, but the point is with brothers, it's like Adas, you're only believed as one. So it comes to belief, and it's not because of belief. Even if one guy could also be believed, the special rule about Shror, in many things in life, you have to have two people there just to be in charge. That's how it works. Not because one person wouldn't necessarily be believed. So what's their authority? What does it mean that they have the authority over here? I mean, you're just asking them to give tzedakah. If they don't give the tzedakah, you could take a pledge from them. You could take collateral. If they don't give, they were assessed. They didn't. Even Rav Shabbos, when people are business, say, I don't have time now, getting ready for Shabbos, you could take a collateral from them on Erev Shabbos if they didn't give the tzedakah from it. And he's that sofa. Ksivit Pasuk says, Upokarati al kol ochtzav. I will punish, I will remember, with bad, all the people who oppress him. And who are they? Varm Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marsa, Mishmeid Rav, Afilo Gabi Tztaka. Even Gaboy Tztaka, who oppressed the people by grabbing Tztaka from them or taking a pledge in lieu of Tztaka, I will oppress them, I will punish them. So you see, it's not a good thing. Says Lokasha, Ha Da Omid Ar La Omid. Depends if they were wealthy or not. If they were wealthy, then you're allowed to take a mashkin from them because people knew they should give tzedakah and they don't want to give, fine. But if they weren't wealthy, then you can't take from them. That's a bad thing. Ki yada Rava, achbe l'Rav Nasan Barami, he forced Rav Nasan Barami, v'shaka minei arvame azuz l'tzedakah. It took him forced him to give $400 of tzedakah. You might say, how did Rava do this alone? You have to have two people. So Tov says that there was another person with him too, only because of the covet of Rava. Rava was mentioned, but he did it with two people.
We're talking here about tzedakah for poor people. We're not talking about
Stucka basically means
someone.
Poor. Right. Stucka means poor people. Correct. That's stucka means. Now today we get a discussion many times about for hospitals and institutions, yeshivas, all kinds of stuff like that. People consider that stucka. Understand? People like I said stucka. So for example, for Meiser, remember we differentiate between Meiser, Aser Tasrenu, he's supposed to give 10%, or people give 20%, whatever you give. There's Meiser, and then Stucka. Stucka is not 10. The two things are really independent ideas. People mix it up as one. You have to give Meiser because you want to give Meiser, right? Among your 10% or 20%, whatever you give, there's plenty of Stucka in there probably as well, right? There's a whole discussion about if you pay taxes in a city, in a country like this, a lot of it goes for social welfare, a lot of that's Stucka also. But to be sure, to really give Stucka, like we say, Ramakbud on Purim, to give Avyonim, you really have to give people who are needy, and it's very hard to find. So tzedaka is giving to the needy. The miser and all the other things that come are generally inclusive, that I'm giving back to God. I'm giving to the general welfare of society, to the poor, the sick, etc. That's a different concept. People mix them up, but they're really independent. Okay. V'amaskilim yasir kazarkia, and the wise people will shine like the shining of the heavens. What does it mean? Zed dayan shadan emes amita. This is a judge who judge properly, with proper witnesses, etc. And the people who are righteous to the public will be like stars who shine forever. In other words, the gabayt staka who do righteous things, they fort, as we'll see later on in the next few blot, the gadol hamaasa, a person who causes people to give staka is greater than the person who gives staka. I forgot the guy's name. There was a great benefactor of Karen Biavna, famous family of Shalom, I can't remember the name. He was like 96, 97 when he died, and he used to speak every year at the Karen Biavna dinner. And he said, and he would force people, he was a big...
Galinsky?
No. Galinsky was a rabbi there, but I'm talking about this, I forgot the name, everybody knows the name, I can't remember it. can't remember the name. Anyway, he was a good man, and he would go around for making people give tzedakah, etc. And he says, when you collect for yourself, you're a schnorrer. But when you force people to collect for the yeshiva, you are doing a great, great, that's the greatest of mitzvahs, as we'll see. So here, we're saying is the people who collect, who force the tzibur to give tzedakah, they are the matzdikei rabim. They are making the people righteous. They are tzedakah. Nasisa tana v'maskilu yizaru kazarakia, they darshan the pasuk this way. And the wise men will shine like the shining of the firmament of the heavens. Said Dain Shadana Miso, and let me. This is a judge who judges properly. Vigavoy Tztaka. Those both those things are they're good for the tzibur. Tztaka. Umatzdikei Rabim Kochvei Lamvod Elu Malam Tekzi. People who teach young children Torah. Kagon Man Amrav Kagon Rav Shmuel Bar Pshilus Rav who taught with great devotion the children. The Rav Ashkel of Shmuel Bar Shilus, he once found out to come against. He was in a garden. Amar Leish Shavkes Lan Nuscha. You've left your trade. In other words, you've been entrusted. You were trusted to take care of the children, teach them Torah. Now you're hanging around the garden. What are you on lunch break? Amar Leish Atleisa Shan and Delo Chazilei. It's 13 years since I've seen this garden. Hashnami, I told you, and I just decided after 13 years I haven't left the children. Now I just decided to go out, and even while I'm here in the garden, I'm thinking about the children. And he was always worried about teaching the children properly. For Rabbanu, what about these are nice things said about the people who force the people to give tzedakah and the dayanim and the teachers? What about the rabbis? What does it say about them? Just generals. I'm Ravina, Vo'av of Ketzei Shem Shemkavisa. Them, the beginning pasuk says, and the ones who love him, love Hashem. They are like the sun comes out in its might and its strength. When people collect tzedakah, we said the gaboy tzedakah have to collect. There are two people together, right? That's the rule. Two people have to collect it. Avol, right? These are gaboy tzedakah. These are not stam schnorrers. We're talking about people who are assigned. These are the sign on behalf of the city to assess everybody collecting tzedakah. They can't separate from one another. But let's say they were in one chatzer. One guy could be at the gate and one guy could be in the store. And as they could separate individually just to speed things along, as long as they could each see each other. They're not far away, so they don't have to stand next to each other. But as long as they're within sight, that's good enough. Matzah Mos Meshuk. Let's say one of the gabbai tzedakah found some money in the street, which he can keep himself, finders, keepers, etc. He shouldn't put it into his pocket, because people might say that, look at the gabbai tzedakah, why is he putting money into his own pocket? He should put it into the kupat tzedakah, he's got the bag of tzedakah, or the box. When he comes to his house, in the privacy of his house, he can take it, because then he won't be under suspicion. You should look properly, even though, of course, you're allowed to. It's not a question of trust, it's a question of how does it look. Let's say somebody owed him money with gabbai tzedakah privately. The guy paid him. He shouldn't put it into his own wallet. Let's say they have no aniyim to give money to. They should divide it up. In other words, they have no money. They have small change, and small change becomes rusty. Like they're brass coins, so they want to, and there's no aniyim near. Everybody's doing well, so they want to transfer it or change it into silver coins. They shouldn't change it with their own money. Change it with somebody else's money, right? Part mechemim, part latzman. Gaboy tamcha. Also, let's say they have food, extra food. And there's nobody who's hungry. Shein lo manim lechalik. What mochan achem? They sell to other people. Sell to goyim. Sell to anybody. Again, mochan latzman. It shouldn't, because it shouldn't look like maybe they're giving themselves a good price. Also, you only count money with. When you count it, always count it 1, 2. You don't count 2, 4, 6. The people should think you're cheating. Originally, Mar, meaning his Rebbe, Rabba, would never sit at Sifat Beis, would not sit on the mats in the shul. Why? Because he says that because they were paid for out of the Kupat Tzedakah. Even the Shamalad Tanya Shanos Lachomashir, so that the people in charge, the officers, the vad, whatever, can change it for whatever they need. That was the condition. Havi Yosef, then he would say, Amar Abayim Reish Aviyavid Mar Treisa Kisei Chad. I used to have two wallets, one for the Aniyim, the Alm, one for the Miyim, the general Aniyim of the public, not just from that city, but Chalina Kimasa, one for the poor of the city, and one for the people of the poor of the whole world. Even the Shama Lahadam Rashmul Shmuel Tikhu told him, Bravdimi, Ovid Chakis, you can make one wallet, Vasniel, and make a Tanai. In other words, you make a Tanai, Masna Mitzibra, I'll split it, I'll decide who to give it to. Then he could Ionami Ovid Chad Kisa Vasne. And he made it to me and said, listen, you're supposed to give to the Imam of your city first. So he used to have to keep two different wallets. But once he heard the Rafi said, listen, you can make a condition, people trust you to give it to whoever they want, make it tonight. And that's what Ravashi used to do also. Ravashi Amar, Anostinami Latzer, I didn't even make it tonight. The whole the Kaasi Adaita the Diasi. Whoever gives me tztaka knows that they trust me to give it out to whoever I see fit. I give it to whoever needs it. All right, we'll pick him here tomorrow at the regular time.
My Gabbai Tractor goes into his room and locks the door.
Yeah.